A real frontline patriot brings you his one-of-a-kind perspective on freedom versus tyranny. This is the world premiere of the Political Prisoner Podcast, powered by Gateway Pundit. Now, live from solitary confinement, here's your host, January Sixer, Jake Lang.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Political Prisoner Podcast. It's your host, Jake Lang. We got such a stellar episode for you guys lined up. This has been a long time coming. We have the man himself, Mr. Mike Lindell, joins me today live on my podcast. I'm recording from the basement of the D.C. Gulag, over 1,000 days incarcerated right now without a trial. And we've got one of the, just absolute thoroughbred of the patriot movement in America, amazing entrepreneur, believer in Jesus Christ. You guys probably know him. And everything he does is so well put out there in the media, so I don't need to give this man any more of an introduction. He's earned his place as, you know, the patriot firebrand and election integrity fighter for Trump that everybody knows and loves him as. So, Mike, my brother, God bless you. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's definitely been, you know, a long fight here for the Jan Sixers, for you, yes, who have been persecuted as well by this two-tiered justice system that seems to target Christians and conservatives and patriots, while the rest of the country runs amok with destruction and violence. They go after the good guys. I think that the Bible says something about that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's been, you can't even fathom what's going on now, but it keeps me going. Is this my faith? I'll tell you right out of the gate here, I know people always ask me, you know, I prayed that this would happen and it didn't happen. And I prayed about this. And I said, well, you know, those are reactionary prayers and it might not be God's will. And well, where's God's will? God's will is in the Word. So I stay in the Word every day, and then I'm able to be proactive in prayer, and they line up beautifully, and it gives me a peace. And one of the things, if you read in the Bible, when we get way out to this great place we're going, that we're going to look back and say, you know, all this was on God's timing, and all of it had to mean something, you know. And I believe that I believe a lot of this right now is bringing people to Jesus, just the greatest revival in history. People don't come to the Lord when things are going good. It's when things are going bad.
Amen. I can definitely second that, because the grace that we receive when we're under fire is that's when he truly shows his strength, when we're weak. And so, Mike, it's awesome to hear your faith, brother, through the persecution. So let's talk. Let's wind the clock back. You know, we're here steadily approaching 2024 now. We've got 3 years of history of persecution between the Jan Sixers and yourself. But let's bring it back. Bring us back to November 2020. What's going through your mind? And tell us about the interactions you had with Trump, because we're gonna run this episode, guys, in chronological order. We're gonna talk, you know, before Jan 6, the 2020 stolen election. We talk about Jan 6, after Jan 6, our persecution as the conservatives, the Trump supporters, and we're just going to keep on running it through there. So,
right,
Mike, bring the audience back. Give us a little bit of detail. What's happening in November 2020? How is this election stolen in 2020?
Well, in November and December, you know, I'm like everybody else. I believe that a miracle happened. I look back now, it was a miracle that the algorithms of the machines were overran by our great real president, Donald Trump. If that doesn't happen, we lose our country forever. But that did happen, and all these anomalies and deviations came forward on the morning of November 4th. And from that point on, I did a lot of my own investigation. And during that time of November, December, I was going through states and counties, and one of the things that bothered me the most was thousands of people in a state voted there that didn't live in that state, and every county had people that voted in that county that didn't live in the county. I go, people are genuinely good people. I said, this doesn't even make sense. I mean, and it was everywhere. And I got all the way up to, you know, I was very, very vocal that it was, you know, all these different anomalies and deviations. And it got up to January 4th, and I was in Georgia, okay? I was in Georgia, mm-hmm. and with our great real president, Donald Trump. And, you know, I didn't have a cell phone then. That's a big media thing, thinking that we connected all the time or talked all the time. We very seldom. I think I met him two times before that, Kirk, probably more than that, but two times where we actually had time to talk. Well, anyway, on January 4th, there was the huge rally in Georgia for the runoff for the two senators. And I got down and I prayed and I said, God, please take them both. Have them steal them both. And you say, well, why did you do that, Mike? Well, I'm a marketer. And by that point, if I was working for the evil, for the other side, I would have said, hey, guys, let's give them back a Republican so they shut up about this election. Because it was everywhere. Everyone in the country is going, we have problems. There's problems. There's problems in our elections. And everybody's getting canceled on, false things put over, from your Twitters and everything else. But when I prayed that, and both senators were taken. If you remember what happened, if they would have gave back one, mm-hmm. everyone in this country would have said, "Oh, let's just, you know, shut up about the election. We'll get them back in 2022. We'll campaign harder." You couldn't campaign any harder than Donald Trump did, and everybody else. And they still had. They had at least four or five corrupt senators. So, and they had the machines. Okay. So, but evil is greedy, everybody. Evil is greedy. They stole them both. And when they did that, everybody remembers back where you were at when they said both senators were taken. Now you're going, oh, what's going to happen to our country? And everyone goes, maybe there was fraud. Maybe there was crime. People woke up. Well, but evil had a plan. They had a safety net for the evil, and that was January 6th, the big setup of January 6th. When that happened, everybody, there's two really important dates in history, and this should bring you a lot of hope, Jake. It's January 7th and 8th, probably two of the dates that get overlooked. They're so important. Those were the days they tried, just like Nazi Germany, to take our voice forever. They what they did, 1.2 million Americans were deplatformed. Off YouTube, Vimeo, Crooked Facebook, YouTube, you name it, Zuckerberg's Facebook, all these platforms. When they did that, all the other people then were put into, that didn't speak, hadn't spoke out, they were put into fear because of January 6th to never talk about the elections, right? So on January 7th and 8th, I compare it, when I was growing up, we had black and white TVs, and as kids, we would turn off the TVs and it would go down to a little tiny dot, this little tiny white or blue dot, and we would turn it back on. It would all come back to life. Well, that little dot was our voice then. Our voice was almost snuffed out forever. But it wasn't, everybody. On January 9th, I was given evidence. Amen. I was given evidence on January 9th that explained everything to me. That it was all done with machines, computers. That was the bulk of it because it was the only thing that explained all the fraud and crime in every state. So from that point on, as everybody knows, I couldn't unsee what I saw. I went to validate it, but it had a government gag order on the evidence that I tried to get to our great real president, Donald Trump, on January 15th of 21. And that famous picture was taken of me with martial law papers that had come from a lawyer. To this date, I haven't read them. And then I was the most attacked person for probably never let up. You know, for those 3 months, it was definitely me. They kind of, they weren't talking about our real president, Donald Trump. It was to try and silence me. Mike Lindell lost three more retailers today. MyPillow lost this. And I would go, you know what? Trying to attack. Our election was stolen. Our election was stolen, and I never let up.
Wow. I mean, this history, guys, not the whitewashed version, not the mainstream news media narrative. This is primary source, direct from the horse's mouth, from the man who lived it, saw the data. Mike, thank you for, correcting the lies. They're trying to rewrite history.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to bring up one more thing that's very important for everybody out there, because this gave me a piece. On January 15th, when I got a meeting with our real president with the evidence I had, this is 9 days after January 6th, and these lawyers had given me an envelope, and they said, if you do see the president, will you give him these? These are recommendations. And I said, sure. Now, I didn't unseal that envelope, and I never looked at it. Now,
you have 1 minute remaining.
As I brought into the White House, as I got in there, and they took that famous picture, and I was shooed out of the White House after trying to show the president the evidence and him sign off on a gag order. I headed over back into Virginia, and my good friend Ben Carson called me, and he said, did the president sign? I said, no. I said, I felt so defeated. And he goes, well, Mike, maybe this isn't, God doesn't go by dates of November 3rd or January 6th or December 14th. He goes, maybe he has a bigger plan and we just don't know yet. Maybe things got to unravel before anything can happen. And, it gave me a peace that it was all in God's timing. And boy, have we found enough the last 3 years that has just completely exposed the evil. So, that gave me a big peace that day, knowing that it was going to take a while and it was on God's timing and not my timing.
Amen. Mike, we'll be right back after. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Political Prisoner Podcast. It's your host, Jake Lang. Wow, guys. I mean, this is awesome. This has been a long time coming. We got Mike Lindell live with me today, showing his support for the Jan Sixers and election integrity. The real patriot right here, guys. And I'm just so grateful to have him on this episode. We're 2 days away from Thanksgiving, and, you know, this is, I guess this is my little Thanksgiving present from God here to be able to bring on awesome friends and supporters. So, Mike, my brother, how are we doing?
Well, doing good, I'll tell you. So many things to be thankful for. Just think if we would be at right now, if we didn't have 2.5 years of things that have unfolded and God's revealed all the evil that's out there, and, you know, great things just this last 2 weeks where, you know, they're releasing all the tapes, the J6 tapes, and here we had Argentina just had an election, got rid of all their machines. They had an election with paper ballots hand counted. They were done in one day, and finally they were set free. The hundreds of thousands or millions of people, I guess 30 million people voted, and just an overwhelming great election. And then you had a judge rule in Florida, a left-wing judge just ruled that people that talk about election machines and are not conspiracy theories, guys. I don't know if you've seen that one. But it's these are great things that have, over the last 2.5 years, you know, that have been revealed. And I, like I said before, when I was going across that bridge, leaving the White House on January 15th, and I was just going, you know, I had all this evidence, and I'm going, you know, God, what's going on here? Why, you know, you brought me this. I felt I would bring it to the president. He'd sign the thing and, hey, everybody, the election was stolen. It's over. But you know what? It wasn't on God's timing. Like Ben Carson had told me, it wasn't on God. That was, you know, it wasn't God's timing, because so much evil had to get revealed first. And so we can get to this great place we're going to get to, which I really believe we are. And I want to tell you something too. You know, I've talked to many people like yourself, Jake, the January Sixers that were in, and I did an event at Bedminster. I was at an event with our real president, Donald Trump. And I was in a meeting with him, and he said, Mike, are you going to go up there and speak? And I said, no, I wasn't even invited. I just happened to be there. And I went up there and they had me speak, and it was so touching. The people that were there that had been in prison like yourself, they came up and they go, you know what, Mike, you inspired us so much because you wouldn't give up. When we got put in there, you wouldn't give up. Amen. I wouldn't give up. That meant so much to me. I started crying. I said, really? Because there was a time, you know, where I felt I was, you know, where I was alone too, you know, when I was getting attacked every day back in January of 21 and then February, and then that turned into March, and every day on the number one story in the news, Mike Lindell lost all his vendors. I'm getting debanked, deplatformed, and attacked. And I'm going, for what? Because I have evidence that our elections were taken, that China intruded, and then we have problems with our computers, and nothing made sense. But my faith in God and then having other people, you know, when I heard that, it's just, you know, that gave me a new, that was like a, I think that was like a half a year ago. Things keep happening to me that just inspire me all the more if I ever feel so down and going, hey, this isn't getting anywhere. We're not getting there fast enough, God. Courage is contagious, you guys have inspired me itself. I'm just going, I couldn't believe it, the stories I was hearing, and I would just, it was very encouraging. So that, just so you know, that encouragement goes both ways, I'll tell you.
Amen. Thanks, Mike. Yeah, that same spirit of triumph, brother, that lived in, you know, our Lord Jesus when he's in that tomb, and we all know that stone got rolled away, and we're waiting on our day and God's timing. I'm sure Christ himself wanted to be let out of that tomb the first day, but, you know, it's in God's timing, and I can't wait to see this wide open pasture that he brings our country towards with awesome people that are, you know, arising out of this movement, kind of carved and shaped by the fire, you know, the fiery trials that we've been through. I think that we won't have as strong of a country and as a backbone unless we had to bear this amount of weight and this load. So, you know, he works 100%. All things for our good. And in the midst of this, we think it's a punishment or some type of, a time where to lose hope, but really it's the test to strengthen us. So thanks,
I want to say one more thing there, a test to strength, but you know what? When we get through this, you know, you think of all the people that you guys have inspired that are out there and going, people that what's happened over the last 2.5 years is this, that the truth is keeps getting revealed. And like I said, we've been in the greatest revival for Jesus Christ where people see stuff that's been done, like the worst things be done. You guys in prison for your First Amendment right of free speech and our rights being violated and just in a horrific, not even just the most horrific thing in history. And other people that might, that's opened people's eyes going, hey, this is wrong. And if it leads them to find in the Lord that they wouldn't have found before, I think that's where we're at. I really do, that this, once people get in that bucket, more and more people are going into this bucket for this revival. I know that, you know, God uses all things for good, like you said. I think it's going to be absolutely amazing when we get through this. But.
Amen. Amen. You want to talk revival, brother? We could sit and talk revival all day. You know, it's just great to be connected to another brother in Christ. It's realizing that this is not a time of hopelessness and despair. We need to rise up as the church, you know, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in this country, and dig in, you know, plant our feet and just stand our ground right now, because this is really the trying times that kind of build the church and build our faith, and seeing triumph come out, like you said, all these new things, Argentina, and I'm hearing, you know, Trump's winning, all of these people, they're trying to take him off the ballot. I mean, we're getting wins right now. We can't focus on the small setbacks. We got to use them
absolutely
to just, catapult forward.
Absolutely. And I tell people all the time, you know, I see people that have lost hope in the streets, and I say, you watch Fox News all the time. They go, yes, we do. And I go, you got to quit watching that, because they won't talk about where the hope is, the elections and the wins we're getting out here. And now, you know, like your podcast, and what's happened is, like I said earlier, you know, when they tried to take our voice away on January 7th and 8th of 2021, and they weren't able to do it, now it's manifested into podcasts and platforms like Getter, Gab, Frank Social, Truth Social, Telegram, all these other platforms where we have learned other ways to get information, and our voices just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and so we can call out and hold people accountable and again change what we're in. You know, what a great thing with the new speaker releasing them tapes. I mean, that's gotta give you some hope, huh? I mean, that's gotta just be.
It's been a fight that our family members, our lawyers, the entire Jan 6 community, I mean, we're a very tight-knit community, And it's been something that we've all been pushing for years.
Right.
And to see it just finally come to fruition, I mean, you know, over a 1,000 days after I got arrested now, it truly is remarkable. So this is the spirit of Thanksgiving, Mike.
Yep,
it's a good thing.
And prayers answered. It's going to be amazing. I got a question for you. I know that you're interviewing me, but I was in 19 days in solitary back in the day once, and they didn't give us anything to read or anything, at least for 5 of my days, and it was the most horrific thing I've ever had to go through in my life. I can't imagine. I guess my question to you is, do they give you books? Do they give you things? I know I asked you before the interview here, you know, how long it took to be able to do a podcast, but my question goes back when you were first put in. How long was it before they gave you anything to read or to do to keep your mind off of just staring at four walls? It's just so sad to me.
Well, thanks, Mike, for caring, brother. So, I mean, pretty much the first year of incarceration was all solitary confinement. They had us on COVID lockdown restriction. We did 23 hours and 15 minutes a day in our cell every day. So we got out of our cell for 45 minutes a day, take a quick shower, make a call to mom or dad, and that was it. I did, you know, end up pretty much just harassing the guards until they gave me a Bible wherever I was at, because that peace that you get from just, you know, soaking
right.
in the Word and washing yourself
right.
in the Word is undeniable.
Right.
And so
right.
I was able, after 3-4 days, pretty much, there's a good Christian as a prison guard pretty much everywhere. You just got to find them. And so you're knocking
right.
on the door, and you're like, hey, man, I really would like a Bible in here. Can you go ask the chaplain
good.
Or go
oh.
find me one? Just bring it to me.
Right.
And so, you know, I've had to go through 3-6 day stretches sometimes with nothing to do. But that's another good time to do the self-introspection. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To review your character, review what you want to do in life, how you want to serve God's kingdom and stuff. And that can build you up better than almost anything.
Yeah, wow. Well, praise the Lord, you were able to be given a Bible.
It's been 21 months of the 35 months I've been incarcerated have been in solitary confinement. I'm calling you right now from solitary confinement. They removed me from the pod again. You know, this wicked D.C. jail system, man, here. They've done, I mean, incredible things to some of the prisoners here. And, I mean, that's just, they're trying to send a signal fire out, right, to all the other
absolutely.
Patriots like yourself and other people to try to silence them and try to coerce them and basically threaten them to say, if you dare stand up against a stolen election, if you dare be a patriot,
right.
a Second Amendment activist, First Amendment activist, we're going to just kidnap you from your homes and drag you to a gulag. And torture you. So, you know, as long
right.
as we're resilient and the people like yourself and myself who've been persecuted, I think that we can encourage others. Like Paul said in the Bible, let my bonds encourage you. Let my chains strengthen you.
Right.
And so I hope that everybody listening out here today for the holiday season, for this winter we're about to go through and emerge out into the spring revival here,
absolutely.
2024 election season, that this is the time where we buy.
You have 1 minute remaining.
Yep.
And get united, Mike.
And you know, I heard of one J6er. He was in a garage when I first had my first cyber symposium to get the word out. He was just watching my show on his phone or something, and they arrested him and said, you can't. I mean,
yep.
I've never heard of such nonsensical stuff in my life. And
that was my brother, Doug Jensen, Mike.
It
That's
was.
My brother,
oh,
Doug
wow.
Jensen. Yes.
I felt so bad for him. I'm going, are you kidding for watching
no.
my show? You know?
That's
just horrible.
That's some Soviet style. I mean, that's like First Amendment repression like you would see in, like, China and the CCP, man. I mean,
yeah,
it's hard
absolutely.
To believe it's America sometimes.
No.
Hey, Mike,
no.
we're going to bring you back for another segment, ask you a couple more questions about Jan 6 in 2024. Stay tuned, everybody. You're listening to Political Prisoner Podcast. I'm Jake Lang. God bless. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Political Prisoner Podcast. It's your host, Jake Lang. Coming to you live from D.C. jail. It's Thanksgiving week here. We're just giving, you know, our gratefulness to the Lord. I've got an amazing mentor, friend. I mean, Mike Lindell, he's been just absolute charging this movement for the patriots across the country, pushing for election integrity, and he's been, you know, subjected to persecution himself by the FBI and our wicked, corrupt DOJ. So we're going to bring Mike back in and ask him some questions about how he's making it through this and what he's doing to combat in 2024 what they did in 2020. So, Mike, here's my question. I want you to break this down for the audience like we're kindergartners, like elementary status. Tell us what was wrong with the machines in 2020 and what we have to do to get them right or obliterate them in 2024. Give us the breakdown, brother.
Okay. Well, this is 100%. This isn't like I know this 98%. If anybody knew what I knew and have seen what I've seen, I've put everything I have on it. This all really happened. When you skim a casino back in the mafia days, you don't just take from one machine or take from one gaming table because it would stand out like a sore thumb. It would stand out and people would investigate it and check into it. So what they did when you got into computers and these electronic voting machines, which started about two decades ago, they were able to take 51 countries with computers, Brazil being the last one. They stole Brazil from my good friend, President Bolsonaro. But what they do, they set algorithms. The evidence I got came from a guy named Dennis Montgomery, who worked for the CIA to make a thing called Hammer Scorecard. Now, people can say, oh, that's a myth out there. No, this is all very real. He made it. It was produced by our government, invented by this guy, to steal other countries' elections. The thing is, our own country turned it on ourselves. And people say, well, who did this? Well, I'll tell you who did it. China, the CCP, the globalists, the uniparty, and the deep state. That cabal did it. The Democrats wanted these machines gone for two decades. I've had to sit and fight the Republicans to get rid of these machines. Anyway, what happened in November and December of 2020, I went into a deep dive. I look at numbers every day, everybody, thousands of them, of podcasts, radio stations, TV commercials. If I see one doing way more than they normally do, I check into it, or way less than they normally do. It's called a deviation, and I dig into that till I find out why it deviated. You have to have a different input to get a different output. In the 2020 election, there was thousands of deviations. I mean, everywhere, okay? But the biggest one was, for the first time in history, people voted in every county in the country that do not live in that county. Every single county, not just some, all 3,143. Well, people, and then there was so many people that were deceased. That voted, okay? Well, as I dug into this and I got all the voter rolls for the country and I paid for them everything else to get these voter rolls, I'm going, wow, look at this. Alabama, 4,680 people voted that were over 110 years old. I showed that to the Secretary of State of Alabama, and like a smart aleck, he goes, we live pretty good here in Alabama, don't we, Mike? I go, that's not funny, John. That was John Merrill. But
wow.
My point being is, I'm going, this is crazy. People are good people. I just couldn't think of it. You know, everyone says, well, the Democrats cheat. And I'm going, this isn't about Democrats. I found a lot of places where it was even reversed. So when I got that evidence on January 9th from Dennis Montgomery, I didn't know him from the man on the moon. And I'm going, wow, it was every single state, every single county in the country. They just put down, just turn a thing, and everybody brings it down. You're bringing down the whole water level of the whole country. Now, Donald Trump, the problem for them was that they have to predict how far down to bring that water where people would believe it and then make sure that that Donald Trump loses. Well, they ran out of that wing and that water down, if people understand this. And he would have, that's why they had to stop the election in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock in the morning or 1 o'clock, whatever it was, on November 4th, and stop everything because he was going to win all those swing states in spite of the steal. And so they had to do excuses in every one of those states. Michigan, 106,000 votes in the middle of the night came down for Biden, yep. 3,000 for Donald Trump. And everyone and the media told us a lie and said, oh, those darn inner city, those mail-in votes. And well, that wasn't the mail-in votes. The mail-in votes in Michigan were counted on the morning of the 3rd, not the middle of the night on the 4th. So my point being, everybody, is this was all done with computers. People could say, oh, Mike, there was early voting, drop boxes, dirty voter rolls. Absolutely, but it all ties back to the machines. Even the voter rolls are on a computer. Everything is done with computer. Now, and there's countries that don't use these machines, which got rid of them. France, Germany, the Netherlands, the UK. Just recently, Argentina had this big, great, beautiful vote because they got rid of them and they had a real election. Now, we say, well, Mike, that sounds like doomsday here in the United States. No, it's not. For the last 3 years, I've worked tirelessly 18 hours a day. I have hundreds of thousands of people on the ground in all 50 states. We've worked for coming up on 3 years. We have a great plan to secure our elections and get rid of these machines. We are going to every county in the country with call it a sales pitch. You can go from the county up to get rid of the machines and go to paper ballots hand counted. Now, they would say, well, that's, you know, and what we've done is think of it like selling a product to them. Anything that comes out of their mouth, I want to have that covered. For instance, if they say, well, our machines are not online. No, we just proved it. I have a wireless monitoring device that Dennis Montgomery developed, and we monitored the 2023 election 2 weeks ago. All the machines were online. Virginia was disgusting. They stole everything again in Virginia. So anyway, that's just a side note. So we tell the clerk, no, you see, your machines are online. The machine companies lied to you. Then if they say, oh, it's going to cost too much. No, right here it's 10 times cheaper. Oh, this will take forever to switch over. No, Argentina did it with their whole country in 4 months. And by the way, and then they say, oh, I don't have anything to replace the machines. Yes, we do. My team developed the best hand counting system in the world. And we've already done it in Osage County, Missouri last spring. Democrats, Republicans working together, and they were done at the same time as the machines with 100% accuracy. Now what do you got, Mr. Commissioner in charge of the election? And if they keep, as you keep answering them, then we say, and by the way, we have a petition here with our whole county signed it to get rid of these machines. And if they still say no, they're part of the Uniparty. It's also a way to find out who the real criminals are. And we're going to call out those criminals. Right now, Jake, we have over 200 counties, everybody, committed to paper ballots hand-counted in 2024. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot compared to 3,000-some, but we just gained 6 more last week. As things are unfolding here, and we don't say who they are because the media will go attack them like they did Shasta County and my great friend Kevin Cry and all of them across the country that have went to paper ballots, and they just dive in and attack them. We're going to do this all at once on January and February. And by the way, if you're out there, everybody, get the franksocial.com app. Frank Social, go to the app store, get Frank Social. That's my election crime app. The election crime bureau I set up and the Cause of America, but you can go there. You can sit in your easy chair and watch everything happening in your backyard, in your neighborhood, in your state, and in the country. So this is how we're going to win. And if everybody out there, you know, I will say this, you want to support this cause. I ran out of money. I spent $50 million into every dime I have into helping secure our elections in the country. But I ran out. You've probably seen that all over the news, Jake. Well, you know what? Their people have came through and supported this plan because we've come too far to not get it to the finish line. The only way Donald Trump loses is if they steal it from him again. I was just with him the other day, and he said, Mike, you know, the only way I can lose is if they steal it again. And he says, are you going to have these elections, these fixed in time? And I go, sure, they're already fixed against you. We are going to have them secure, though, and unfix them so we have fair elections. With a fair election, you win 75% of this country. It's the biggest, reddest country you've ever seen if we have elections instead of selections.
Wow. Absolutely jaw-dropping, Mike. Thank you for breaking that down. It's true. It's 100% true, guys. I mean, the will of the people, we know what the will of the people is. We cannot let them subvert us. And really encourage everybody. I want everybody that's listening, every single person, pause the podcast right now. go franksocial.com, download the app. You go on the App Store, Google Play Store, type in Frank Social, download the app, make an account, right? It'll take a couple minutes, and get plugged into the Election Crime Network so that you guys can be a thorough part of this. We need everybody's participation because we don't win unless we unite. So really, guys, I want to encourage you to do that. Mike, thank you for breaking that down for everybody. Now, I want to talk about January 6th a little bit. Obviously, you're speaking to a Jan Sixer here. You are so well-versed in the election integrity thing, and you so well-researched about that. Have you had any opportunity to research some of the stuff, the crazy, like, vaccine stuff that maybe some of the American people don't know about some of the key players or the key motives or why January 6th was orchestrated the way it was? Can you give some insight into what their plan was and just rip off the top layer for everybody?
Well, and I said that earlier. I'm gonna reiterate it again. I spoke out in front of the Supreme Court on December 14th. That was the first opportunity. Let's get this overturned, and everybody knows there's crime, and everybody knows there was this election was stolen. Everybody knew it by December 14th. There was probably 300,000 people, and I was out front there, just six officers out there. There wasn't nothing. It was, you know, and everybody was just out there, you know, peacefully protesting, going, hey, Supreme Court, make your decision, you know, whatever. And they did, and they voted against it, right? So then it goes out to January 6th. And I will say it before everybody. I'll go through it again. On January 4th, I was in Georgia at a rally with Donald Trump with 80,000 people there for the two senators, the runoff senators in Georgia. And it hit me all at once. And I got down and I prayed and I said, please, God, have them steal both the senators. I'm a marketer and I knew. I always try to look at the other side, the side of evil, or look at how, and you're, you look at, you know, what would I do if I was there, if I was them, I would have said, give them back a Republican so they shut up about the election. But evil is greedy and they had a backup plan. So they went ahead and stole both them senators, and everybody went, oh, maybe there really is crime. But if they would have gave back one, everyone would have said, just wait till 2022, we'll get them back. But they had a safety net plan. This was a planned thing at January 6th so that they could do exactly what they did and put fear into every single person that wanted to talk about elections ever again. And they almost accomplished that on January 7th and 8th. But our voices did not go out, and our voices have gotten bigger than ever. But that was their plan, and it was planned from the get-go. Otherwise, they would have gave back one of those senators because they were caught. They got caught stealing an election. They got caught with these machines. But they had to put fear into the country. That's what January 6th was.
100%. Mike, we'll bring you back for one more segment. Hey, guys, welcome back to Political Prisoner Podcast. It's your host, Jake Lang. We are rocking and rolling, guys. I hope that you all are absorbing all of this rich information that Mike Lindell is just, I mean, spreading and sharing right now, because it's so important to know where we went wrong in 2020, what they did to us, and how this plan moving forward is going to save America. And so we're going to take this segment, guys, and let Mike explain to you about the Lindell plan, which is instrumental. It is full featured. It's on lindellplan.com. And this is a step-by-step, basically, of what we need to do to redeem America and to ensure our elections for 2024. So, guys, if you're listening on Blessed News Network, Lindell TV, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Gateway Pundit, on my Gateway Pundit readers and listeners, we love you guys so much. Please subscribe and share this podcast out there to everybody. So informative, so important. Mike, my brother, tell us about the plan to save America that you've outlined on lindellplan.com and why it's so vital that everybody gets on there and really supports and pushes hard, especially on the Legal Offensive Fund, especially there.
Yeah, and you know, this actually was about a year ago. It hit me all at once, you know, all the things we have going on in our country. It's going, you know, Lord, I don't know if we're going to get rid of these machines in time and get, because that's the number one thing that has to be done. And then I thought back, like Al Capone back in the 20s, when this gangster They couldn't get him on racketeering, murder. They couldn't get him on bootlegging. They couldn't get him on gambling, anything, because he had the media in his pocket. He had the police in his pocket. He had the government in his pocket, early voting in his pocket. And what they ended up doing, they said, well, let's get him on tax evasion. So they came at it from a different angle, a very unexpected angle. Well, one of the things that the machine companies did and the media, they lied to all of us. And they, the biggest block for the cyber evidence, for all the evidence that I have, the cast vote records that we got through the Freedom of Information Act, all the voter rolls and everything with the computers across our country, all this information, they kept blocking it with one little thing going, they're not on the Internet. They're not on the Internet. They're not on the Internet. Our machines aren't on the Internet. We have the best election because our machines aren't on the Internet. Well, that was a lie, a complete lie. That was to cover up the, all this.
Big
all
fat
this
lie.
Yeah, a big fat lie. So what we did is we spent a year and developed the this wireless monitoring device, which we used in the election here on November 7th. We found all, and who got these devices? Everybody, the media kept asking me. They tried to stop us from going into Kentucky. If Mike Lindell comes into Kentucky, it's illegal if he brings anything with him. Anybody associated with Mike Lindell, I'm going, well, good for you, Kentucky. We brought stuff in, and the clerks had the right to bring it. These things aren't illegal devices. And the clerks that wanted them that had been lied to, they all got these devices, and they found out what? They found out these machines were on the Internet. So now we're able to go back to all these counties with a new sales pitch, so to speak. And everyone keeps saying, well, Mike, are you going to release the information they were on the Internet? No. And I've told the public, I said, yeah, they were all on the Internet. And all this crime happened up in Virginia, Kentucky, all the elections during this November 7th again. But what we're using it, because in this country, most counties have their own rights. They can get rid of the machines at the county level. And that's what's happening. And that's where our efforts have been. We have 300,000 people on the ground in all 50 states. And they work tirelessly. They're out there canvassing. What I mean by that, guys, if you go to any county and you look up on the voter rolls and say, hey, it says six people voted in this house over here on Main Street. You go to the house, physically go to the house, and it's a one-bedroom house with one person living there. It says six people voted. Now you look at the five people, and you pull their names up, and you go, wait a minute. Three of them are deceased, and two of them don't live in this county. And you look at voter rolls like Wisconsin, 7 million people names on the voter rolls. If every eligible voter voted in Wisconsin that could register, it's 4,100,000. Pennsylvania had more votes than voters in the last three elections. I mean, it's just disgusting. So what we're doing is we're doing two things. We're making people aware. We're educating people across our country with this plan. So people are getting aware. I keep building and building and building my Lindell TV network, my frankspeech.com, the voice, and unifying our voice. So people get educated on what's going on. And then the other thing is to get rid of these machines at the county level. We have many cases going on, lawsuits going on across this country. Not the frivolous, the ones that are draining me of money and everybody else of money, the 200 people that were sued by Dominion, Smartmatic, and others. Don't kid yourself. All the machines are created equal. Let's not forget about the biggest one, ES&S out of Omaha, Nebraska. So all of these efforts to get rid of these computers, that's what this fight has been about. You don't think that the worst attack I've taken at MyPillow has been the last 2 months. The last 2 months. Why? Because I had an election summit to get rid of these machines in August. People, you think that they're worried anymore about me overturning the 2020 election? No, Donald Trump's going to win this one. Everybody knows it, and he's already campaigned. But the media and the deep state and the globalists and the people behind this, they want me gone, my voice gone, because they have to keep these electronic voting machines to steal. And what's going to happen is now we have at least five lawsuits that we believe are going to make it to the Supreme Court. Now, I believe they're starving for a case. I've said it before. The government made our elections critical infrastructure. Okay. If these nine see and know what I know, and they actually will look at it. No judge in the United States has looked at any of the evidence based on merit. Not one judge, everybody. They threw things out on standing and sanctioned people like me even for asking to look inside. So I believe these nine judges, I believe if they looked at this, and they're going to have to say 9-0, let's get rid of these computers. We can't have them. We absolutely cannot have them in our elections. And then no one's going to be able to say, Jake, well, we can't switch over this fast. The election's only 10 months away. Argentina did it with 30 million people. They did it in 4 months. And do you know that our government, this is something I'm saying on air for the first time in history, everybody, every single state has a protocol. They have a hand-counted paper ballot system ready to go. Every state, you know why? If our electronic grid ever went down, if our grid ever went down, all of them have that in place, which is kind of weird because if they're not on the internet, what are they worried about, right? But they already have that in place, but they will not share that under the Freedom of Information Act. But the bottom line is they know they could do it in a heartbeat. We have all the pieces to this, and I've said it before. God's given us grace for such a time as this. You know, Jake, when I spoke at the Rose Garden and I said God's given us grace, and I said we need to spend time, get back in our Bibles, and spend time with our families, and people come up to me all the time and go, Mike, this doesn't feel like grace. This doesn't feel like grace. I go, oh, but it is. We are in the best time in history to be alive. This is the time when more and more people are pouring to Jesus Christ. They're just pouring into this bucket. Because people don't come to God when things are going good. And December of 2019, everybody, that was our physical lives in this country had improved no matter where your baseline was. If you were in the street when you started, if you ate with four forks, didn't matter where you started from. It was the highest consumer confidence in history, lowest black unemployment, lowest women unemployment. You can go right down the list. Everybody's physical thing had improved. You might have a bigger truck, who knows, physical possession. But nobody was given thanks. All that had manifested about a politician, or don't call him a great president, a real president, that had made great decisions in spite of all these attacks to help all people. But people in December of 2019 were not reaching out to God and thanking him. They took it for granted. Oh, Donald Trump's the savior. He brought everything in. Look at all this great thing. Yeah, God used him as a tool for that. But you know what? If these last 3 years hadn't happened, we wouldn't be in the greatest revival in history. That's where the big win is. The big win is eternity. And people are pouring into that. I have family members. I have friends. I have people in my own company that have just, I could tell so many people have come to the Lord in these last couple of years that in all the other years or decades of my life combined. I know, and it's because of the bad things going on, because they're turning to the Lord. God, please give us some hope. Give us grace. This is the grace, everybody. Just embrace it. And you know what? When we get to this great place we're going, we're going to look back and say everything had to happen just the way it did to get to this place. And you're going to see friends, relatives, everybody saved for eternity. This is the big win.
Amen. Amen. There's your invitation, America, right there. If you're not right with God, let this opportunity right now, the adversity that we're facing as a country, let it humble you and turn you towards the Lord. You heard it from Mike Lindell. So, hey, Mike, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I'd love if you say a quick prayer over our country, over the Jan Sixers, our family members that are missing us at home, and all of the people that are listening, brother. If you could for us, that would be the best Thanksgiving present ever.
Right, and I want to quick say to everybody, if there's anybody out there in addiction, I have the LindellRecoveryNetwork.org. It's free, everybody. That was set up it's kind of got lost in the mix of things. The LindellRecoveryNetwork.org is online. It's free. And you know what? Where our nation is now, where people are feeling hopeless, and you couple that with the drugs pouring in, and you combine them too, it's toxic. And I actually want to pray for the addicts too out there that they can find hope. And I'm praying for Lord, please, I'm going to say a prayer right now. I'm going to say, Lord, we pray for the J Sixers. We pray for their families, that you can give them, that we can give thanks to you at this time, Lord, that there is hope. You are the hope, Lord. You are the hope, Jesus. And we pray that, that people pour into you, their relatives, that to open, that they can open their heart. We pray that people out there, I pray for all the people out there that can get on their knees now and just surrender to Jesus and lift off that, any worry.
You
any,
have one
any,
minute.
Any worry, any anxieties, and just, like when, and just surrender right now to Jesus Christ and to give thanks. To give thanks where we're at, Lord, in this time that we're in right now, and that you have given us every tool to get through this, and you've given us the strength, Lord. And we pray that everybody that can stand up, I pray that, Lord, you can provide to replace fear with courage, Lord. Replace fear in anybody with courage. Replace joy, replace depression with joy, Lord. Just replace it and be joyful,
yes,
so
Lord.
People can give thanks this Thanksgiving to you, Lord. And I just pray that that all the J6ers and their families can find peace that passes all understanding, you, Jesus Christ. And this name I pray for every one of them, Lord. Bless everybody during this time. In Jesus' name, thank you.
Amen.